السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين، بارك الله فيكم. We discussed the expenditure and the generosity and simplicity of Hazrat Hakim bin Hizam رضي الله عنه. Despite being well off, he wasn't extravagant. Many a time, abundance brings extravagance, wastage. The hadith, the ayat of the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم condemn wastage and extravagance. We are taught not to be wasteful. We are taught in the Quran that those that waste are the brothers of the devils. إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ and إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ Allah loves not those who transgress, and it also means those that waste. So it doesn't mean one has, he could waste. Hazrat Sa'ad's report, interestingly, wudu. Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that don't even waste water even though you are performing wudu near a flowing river. So it doesn't mean there's abundance. We could be wasteful, but we should be conscious of Allah. Kind, caring, living in our means, and simple. Tabarani reports that Abu Hazim says that there wasn't anyone who would arrange for people to go in the path of Allah, help people with their conveyances and what was needed to go and travel for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Hazrat Hakim bin Hizam radiallahu anhu. Abu Hazim says, two Bedouins come to Madinah Munawwara asking, is there anyone in the city of Madinah Munawwara who would help those wanting to go for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So they were told to approach and see Hazrat Hakim radiallahu anhu. They came to him, he was with his family. He asked them their needs, they mentioned. So he said, wait for me, I will go with you, let's go to the marketplace. The garments he wore also was from Egypt and it was simple. He took his stick and he had two servants with him. And as they passed an area where there was some cloth or leather thrown aside, it was wasted leather, some material. He picked it up with his stick, dusted it and said to his servants, keep this. Then the Bedouins, the two visitors in Medina, were wondering, looking at each other, as he did that, that, hey, let's escape this man. This man is picking up rags. Where he'll be able to take us, or help us, or assist us in any way. Then the other friend said, let's wait, let's see, maybe there is something here. Then they passed the bazaar, and he looked at two well-sized, healthy, pregnant camels. He purchased them and purchased what was needed for a traveler in the way of Allah, meaning bedding, saddles, saddle bag, whatever was needed. Then he said to his servants, this material, this leather, we can use also to repair certain things. And then he filled some bags with food, wheat, butter, whatever else was needed for them on their journey, as expenditure in the path of Allah, with these loaded camels. He handed it, them both to them. And then, subhanallah, they received this with great appreciation. And he let them, ushered them on their way. The one then says to the other, by Allah, we've never seen such a man before. What a quality of Sahaba, radiallahu anhum. He wasn't proud to pick up something that was being wasted. He took it, it was tattered cloth and leather. And imagine, he arranged for us camels loaded with goods to go in the path of Allah. We've never seen something like it. So what an amazing quality. So we learn to live in our means. What we have, alhamdulillah, use for our family, not to be extravagant. It doesn't mean we must always buy new all the time. We have to drive new, we have to wear new all the time. But if what we have, alhamdulillah, is working well, maybe the extra we can use for Allah, in Allah's way, to help and uplift others, to serve Allah, the madaris of deen, the institutions of deen, helping people suffering throughout the world. The system of the dunya is that take debts, take loans, live beyond our means. One is earning, if one is earning 20,000, the world entices one to spend, and there's so much of invitation and enticement and temptation to spend 30,000-40,000. And every month, his debts and overheads are increasing. Somebody earning 100,000 ends up spending 150,000. No, live in our means. Let's not buy what we don't need with the money we don't have to show people we don't like. Why should we do that? Look how he prioritized Allah's deen. There's another report in Tabrani from Hazrat Hakim bin Hizam radiallahu anhu that he sold one very valuable property to Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu for 60,000. As we delve into this report, he sells the property near the Kaaba, known in history. It was like a heritage site. It was Darun Nadwa, a very important parliamentarian house that Quraysh would sit in and discuss pertinent issues. It was established by Qusay ibn Kilab. It was known for its value and history. He sold it at a very humble price. When he was told that, why did you sell it so cheap? He says, in Jahiliya, I purchased it for a drum of alcohol. And this amount that I acquired for it, I make you all my witness, I give it in the path of Allah for the needy, to uplift and liberate people. Today, the honor of Jahiliya is not honorable to us. What is honorable to us is taqwa. Subhanallah. There was this Jamaat years ago from Yemen, and they were mentioning one of the brothers whose house was near the king's, the ruler's palace. He says in his past, when he would give his address, he would say, my house is on the left of the king's, the sultan's, the president's palace. But when he went out in the path of Allah and changed his life, and he would then give the address and explain to people the whereabouts of his house if someone was coming to visit. The other side, on the right-hand side of the house, was the graveyard. He would then identify himself and give his address thus, that I am next to the graveyard. So this is how when the actual realization dawns upon us that we are not here to live forever. We've come into this world to leave, not to stay. And let's finish off with these words of Hazrat Hakim radiallahu anhu when he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam about the good deeds he carried out in his past. Will it be accepted? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the good and the charitable works you've done in the past became the means of your hidayah. Aslamta ala ma salafa laka min khair. Alhamdulillah, from here we learn to see good in people and see the potential in people and invite them to Allah. Allah is the giver of hidayah. He would always thank Allah and become emotional that how Allah saved him on the occasion of Badr, that he almost died among the mushrikeen with them in their creed, but Allah saved him and gave him an opportunity, and so much he served Allah's deen for the rest of his beautiful years. Subhanallah. Allah give us tawfiq. Remember, had it not been for Sahaba radiallahu anhum, deen would not have reached us. Let's value them, let's appreciate them, and remember, whenever they are in the world, those that attack, discredit, disregard the Sahaba kiram radiallahu anhum, we can never expect goodness from them. There's always an agenda when there are those who are attacking Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Sometimes what they're doing outwardly seems to be good, but remember, it is not for the Muslims that they carry out such services. It is for their own ulterior motives. Those who attacked Sahaba in our history, and they don't believe in Sahaba radiallahu anhum. What is left of Islam when it was Sahaba who took Islam to the four corners of the world? When it was Sahaba who preserved Hadith and the Quran, Sahaba preserved the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine those who don't believe in Sahaba, how will they understand deen? Because where's the Hadith from? Where's the Quran from? Then there are those who say, no, there's only Quran. But Sahaba preserved Quran as well as Hadith. If one just believes in Quran, like the Hadith warns and prophesies, ya Allah, how would one perform Salah? How would one carry out circumcision? And there's so many aspects to our deen. what du'as to make, how to carry out certain practices are all cleared out and elucidated in the hadith, the Quran and the hadith. The Quran is the word of Allah, and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the explanation of Allah's kalam, and the meaning of the hadith also comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as enshrined in the Quran that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam never uttered of his own accord, in huwa illa wahyun yuha. And also let's remember, in hadith and in deen we find the great relationship between sahaba radiyallahu anhum and ahlul bayt. Allah give us tawfiq to value this deen, to value the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sahaba kiram radiyallahu anhum. And when we mention ahlul bayt, who are ahlul bayt? Very important to understand, the ayat of the Quran speaking of ahlul bayt is actually in the context of the ummahatul mu'mineen, our mothers, Hazrat Khadija, Hazrat Aisha, Hazrat Sauda, Hazrat Hafsa, Hazrat Zainab binti Jahsh, Hazrat Zainab binti Khuzaima, Hazrat Maymuna, Hazrat Safiya, Hazrat Hafsa, Hazrat Ummu Salama, Hazrat Ummu Habiba, radiallahu anhun, then the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their children, the children of Hazrat Ali, the children of Hazrat Aqil, the children of Hazrat Ja'far, the children of Hazrat Abbas, radiallahu anhum, all are part of Ahlul Bayt. Their relationship with the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhum is phenomenal. Allah give us tawfiq. There was the greatest of love and bond between them. وصلى الله على النبي محمد رحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.